You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hump Day. Happy Hump Day to everybody. If you're in Florida, good luck to you. Know people mostly in the Pensacola area. Retired Marines. Retired Naval Aviators. Who grow a liking to that part of the country. So, anyway. Hurricane Michael. So the East Coast. And the difference between this and Florence is that Michael is gaining power as it approaches the coast. And that wasn't the case with Florence. Florence was dissipating. So Michael gaining in wind strength and whatnot. So doesn't look good. A Category 4 hurricane. So, yikes. You know, one of the trends in life is we like to live near the water, whether it be lakes, rivers, whatever. We like to encroach on it, and building dikes and all these man-made inventions invite catastrophe, and so. Yeah, we just saw it with New Orleans. And, you know, these weather events have been going on for forever. And man continues to love to tempt Mother Nature and think that we can contain Mother Nature. And ultimately, what has tended to happen is we built dikes and levees and things like that to keep water away, to mitigate against disasters, and then they happened anyway. And then what happens ultimately is you have to buy everybody out that that decided to build a house in that lowland. Because what happened was you couldn't build there, right? You couldn't build there because it always flooded. Then we started building dikes. And then guess what? A city could build in all those lots it couldn't have been built on before. Now that land is in play because we have a dike, until the dike doesn't work. and then you have a flood. So, but we'd love to do that. We'd love to do that. And so good luck to everybody down in the whole east coast of the United States. The track of the storm takes it through Florida, into Georgia, into South Carolina, and into North Carolina. So hopefully fate intervenes and it dissipates quickly, and because the people of South Carolina and North Carolina don't need additional water. They're dealing with their own issues up there. So to everybody who's going to deal with this, all the best of luck to you. A little bit different. I tweaked the opening a little bit. You're going to hear Jack Riley in it. He said something pretty profound, I thought, anyway. He said something pretty profound to me about, you know, his life after Vietnam. So in that open after the Marine Corps hymn, where you hear a bunch of audio clips, you'll now hear Jack Riley. I think he's just before the Commandant. And his Alabama drawl is awesome. But the plain spoken truth that he speaks is what I enjoy the most. So I had a chance to talk to him yesterday. He's going to come back on and talk about the things, the different questions that that people have emailed in. Again, I was out yesterday. I take the dogs on about a 3-mile walk run thing I do, and so I was talking to him during part of it and about fire support, like. And he, you'll hear him say it, but I'll just kind of tease it. He said, you know, before we started getting together for reunions, you know, like Marines, when our Marines, when they showed up and we started talking, it's interesting because of how different experiences are, right? Now you deploy with a unit, you come home with a unit. Back then you didn't. You deployed, you joined, you went to Vietnam as an individual, got orders there, joined 3rd Marine Division or 1st Marine Division over there, and stayed there for a year, and then you came home. Not the way we do it anymore. We deploy as battalions. We deploy as headquarters elements. You go together, you come back together. And it's a better way. It's a better way. So so when they came home, since they didn't come home together, they came home and scattered. Some got out of the Marine Corps, some stayed in the Marine Corps, you know, but they didn't tend to congregate. And then they start having reunions. I want to say in the 90s. So I want to say he said 35 years later. So it would have been what, 98 would have been their first reunion. Yeah. Well, you'll hear him talk about it. But he said, you know, when we got together, all those Marines of that company, when Captain Getlin's name came up, they didn't have too many nice things to say about him. And he said, which stunned me because I was with him, but nobody knew that he was trying to call for fire support the whole time and that they wouldn't shoot for us. They thought that he had failed that day. And when I told him what he was doing, and their jaws dropped. They're like, hey, all these years I've had it out for that guy. So, interesting. Interesting. So you'll hear Jack again on the program within the next week or so. And then, but you'll hear him in the opening. You'll hear his voice in the opening. The big news, Red Sox beat the Yankees last night. And, in talking about sports, Wayne Gretzky said something that I've never forgotten years ago in a video that I watched of him, and he talked about he was playing for the Edmonton Oilers, and they were a young team, and they played the New York Islanders in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And he talked about after they had lost, they were walking to their bus. They were walking, I believe it must have been under the Nassau Coliseum because they wouldn't have needed the bus if they were in Edmonton. So he talks about walking down underneath an arena. There's kind of the floor of the arena, and then the locker rooms are, you know, obviously adjacent to that. And then normally outside the locker room, there's a walkway that goes around the entire arena, like a circle, if you will. So they're walking to that. They're going to have to walk by the Islanders' dressing room, and to get to their bus that was parked in a place where buses can pull in. So he said, you know, we were kind of regretting it because we were going to have to hear them hooting and hollering and whatnot. And he said, you know, as we got towards their locker room, they we could hear the noise and music and whatnot. And, you know, so we thought we should stick our heads in and just congratulate them. And they did. Wayne Gretzky, always a classy guy. So they stick their heads in, and he said, you know, the guys, the players, most of them had ice packs on and were sitting down, and they were laughing and having a good time, but it was, you know, it was other people that were screaming and yelling. And he said, you know, after we congratulated and walked out, we were talking on the way to the bus, his buddy Kevin Lowe, and he said, you know, they're spent. Do you see them? They're physically and emotionally spent. And look at us. We still have some in the tank. And he said, you know, we didn't really realize what it takes to be fully committed to winning. We just hadn't done it at that level. We weren't good enough. And so I would say my Yankees are in that. They're not good enough. They're young. You could see, you know, you could see their nervousness. Red Sox, better team. So Red Sox now take on Houston, who I think is the best team in baseball. So we'll see. Red Sox have the best record. I think Red Sox don't have the best pitching staff that Houston does. So that'll be a good fight. So be interesting to watch them. So the league championships start, I believe, Saturday. The National League starts. So baseball continues. And it'll be good. But my Yankees done last night. What else is going on? You're going to hear the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Tim McGarry, who I've known for a long time, he's a loan officer, helps people buy homes. So, he shot me an email once and he said, hey, I'd like to do something with you on All Marine Radio. So it came up, we had lunch, and so we'll do the McGarry Mortgage Minute. You've been hearing the advertisement, but, what he likes to do is just educate people. And he's an interesting guy, played football. In college, played football in Europe, played football in Canada a little bit, and then came home and started working. And so he has, and then he was diagnosed having a brain tumor. Then he has these night terror things, and in one of them, he went out a window. And you'll hear him talk about it because I make him talk about it. But severed all the muscles and nerves in his right arm and right leg. And so I talked to him a few times about, you know, what you go through during recovery and the stuff people say and how frustrating it is and whatnot, and not to be discouraged that there's people that have way worse injuries than him that come back. And that he can do it. And so he's the beneficiary of post-traumatic winning. And which I'm proud of. The hope that the post-traumatic wing provides is so important for people to learn. The first phase is learning the truth about it, and then learning to coexist with it is the second phase. So you're going to meet Tim today, and he's going to talk about kind of his blueprint for the first couple months of the McGarry Mortgage Minute. And then later on in the show today, in about, 44 minutes, you're going to meet Libby. Libby's a mom, and you're going to get her perspective about PTSD, what it's like to be a mom, and watch that and go through that, and observations she has. So one of the things I enjoy doing is kind of rotate the kaleidoscope, and our perspective, or my perspective, tends to dominate the show. And what I like to do, knowing that it does, is bring other people on and have a look at it from their perspective. I think it's good for all of us to do that. And so we'll certainly do that. And so you'll meet Libby today. I first met Libby, who's the mother of Luke, when she sent an email saying that she asked Luke what was going on different, because he seemed different. And he told her that he'd started listening to this radio program called All Marine Radio. And so she sent me this really cool email, one of the coolest emails I've received, essentially saying, "You don't know what you've done for me and my family." And my response was, "Huh?" and so Libby contributes on a regular basis. And it's awesome. Her perspective, obviously different a little bit than ours. But she lives with it, right? She lives with it. And it's her bottom line, it's her baby. So you'll meet Libby today, and we'll meet Libby and find out who she is and get her thoughts on trauma and her observations with it. So we'll do that today. And then you'll probably hear a little thing I did with Bob Nielsen the other day that I cut up. It's just, I don't know how many minutes, and I don't think it's even 20 minutes. But I asked, Nielsen's a patron saint of All Marine Radio. Okay, there should be a bust of him someplace. And, something, one of those either brass or marble things. You can rub their nose when you walk by, rub the top of his head when you walk by. There should be something like that. But Nielsen saw what All Marine Radio could be before most people, before anybody did. I had a vision for it. He saw it as a vehicle that he didn't have coming back from Vietnam. And so issues and things were not discussed, and there wasn't a forum for him, and people couldn't connect. And so they suffered in silence. And so he saw it and what it could be. I had a vision of what it could be, but he knew, right? So I had a vision thinking, well, maybe. His thought was, no, exactly. So anyway, I had him talk about post-traumatic winning and the way he has experienced it. So Bob started helping veterans find jobs when he was recovering in 1968 from injuries suffered in Vietnam. And so he was at a hospital, I want to say in Massachusetts maybe, and guys are getting out, and he's helping people find jobs. So that's where he's first kind of bitten with it. He goes on and has a career at Turner Construction. And then the wars start. And he kind of gravitates to going and listening to vets, coming back through Walter Reed and Bethesda. You cannot keep him away from that place. And what he's become addicted to is post-traumatic winning. And so I like to say that, and this kind of epiphany came to me the other day as I was writing something. You know, you don't really realize this, but when trauma enters your life, it's also an opportunity. You certainly can't see it because the traumatic event dominates your life as your world has changed for everybody that experiences some kind of trauma. But as time goes by, and I think one of the most important things is somehow or other you get a trauma mentor. Somebody who knows what you're going through, somebody who reaches out to you. I think that's huge, and I think that's the role veterans can play in communities all over this country. Now, nobody knows that until somebody coaches you and tells you, hey, you ought to give this some thought. Because until somebody gives you hope that you can do this, until somebody puts their hand on your shoulder and says it's going to be okay. I mean, you have all kinds of stuff going through your head. What? How? How does this work? How am I ever going to live a normal life? I keep having this stuff in my head. Like, what do I do? How do I shut it off? Where is the mute button? So anyway, there's an opportunity there, though, to take that experience and use it for good. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, as horrible as traumatic events are, they are an invitation to live a greater life, to touch more people, to help more people, to give more of yourself, which always makes your life better. But you don't know that when you're first touched by trauma. And so that's why I think that's, in my opinion, the very, very cool role that veterans who learn about trauma and who embrace I hate to say the teachings of post-traumatic winning, but I will. You can be such a powerful force in somebody's life for the good, right? That adversity, as much as it is for your pruning, is also for your growth. I stole that from a Lebanese poet by the name of Cahil Gibran. I'm not savvy to the Lebanese pronunciation of the name. But he writes about love like that. Love as much as it is for your pruning. And then he goes on to say, it'll lay you naked. It will do this. And that pruning, right, serves to allow you to grow stronger. I would say the same thing about adversity, about trauma. At the end of the day, in spite of its negative character, it can lead you to greater things. It can lead to greater goodness. And that's what post-traumatic winning is about. That's what Nielsen is addicted to on his trips, and that to Bethesda, Walter Reed. That's why you could build a 50-foot tall, in fact, I say this to him in the interview, in the little clip you'll hear. I say that you could build this, a 50-foot wall around Bethesda. And he said, I'd find him on the way in, me and my pizza. So we'll talk. You'll hear that, and then we'll talk a little bit about that today. So happy Wednesday, everybody! Happy Hump Day, the United States Marine Corps band makes it official, and then you'll get to hear Jack Riley for the first time. So good morning. Don't touch that dial. Be an interesting show today. Yeah, don't get to interview somebody's mom every day, but today we are. So don't touch that dial. Good morning to you on the 10th day of October, 2015. Excuse me, 2018. this is dedicated to the people down in the panhandle of Florida. Just want to wish everybody the best of luck. If you need to get out, get out. Good luck to you and all of our friends down there. So this is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
I love that Jack Riley stuff. Now, there's so much gold in the All Marine Radio archive. Honestly, it's amazing. You know, I should steal snippets out of that thing all the time. We'll check the weather around Marineland. Quantico clouds and 74 right now. Camp Lejeune's got 4 weather warnings, so you know we have to investigate that. It's mostly cloudy, 82 degrees. Stand by. Tropical storm watch until 1:15 Eastern Daylight Time today. Beach hazard statement. Tropical weather statement until 1:45 today. Flash flood watch until 8 p.m. today. So I would imagine you will see all those weather warnings renewed as Hurricane Michael makes shore and impacts the Carolinas as well as Florida. Currently, partly cloudy and 57 in Granbury, Texas. So Texas has cooled off. Montana, clouds and 34 degrees up there. In 29 Palms, California, clouds and 56 degrees. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 53 degrees. Okinawa, Japan, dark cloudy 77, so cooling trend continues around the planet. And in Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 67 in Lashkar Gah in the Helmand province of south central Afghanistan, where the Marines are. Clouds and 60 degrees in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. And looking for a high of 71 today, 72 tomorrow, and on Friday, 78 degrees. So very, very moderate weather as fall sets upon us. We'll take a quick break. We'll check some news headlines, more of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, if you'd have been around here a few minutes ago, you'd have heard the aforementioned Colleen getting in trouble. 15 years old and I gotta yank your ass out of bed? What? Something tells me that we need to do a little bit of remediation. My phone died. You obviously are mistaking me for somebody who cares. I don't care. It's not an excuse. And Colleen's been around enough. She knows where that's headed. Alright, we're going to check some headlines. And then you're going to hear from Tim McGarry, the McGarry Mortgage Minute. So you'll meet Tim. And I would tell you, I mean, if you're somebody who has questions, that's what he builds his business on. If you have questions, he's an answer guy. If he doesn't know it, he'll find it out. So, anyway, you'll meet him in a few minutes. To the newsroom we go. Yeah, Colleen. Colleen doesn't get out of bed today. Like, what? I thought she was gone. But I hadn't seen hide nor hair of her. So, I got up during the commercial break. I stuck my head in. I'm like, what are you doing? Alright, a couple stories out of Marine Corps Times. Marine Corps in search of a better fitting pouch for its new Magpul magazine. Okay, you know what that means? It means that's a slow news day, okay? The Carl Gustav is getting a game-changing laser-guided munition. Slow news day. Interesting story, probably the most interesting story in Marine Corps Times today is a headline that says, "Are Pentagon weapon systems vulnerable to cyber attacks?" Here's what the GAO says. Are they vulnerable? You know, it's kind of like infrastructure in the United States. You read all these things that this could be hacked, and then, you know, then you start peeling the onion, and the people say, our systems aren't, those systems are not connected to the internet. The article would be right if the, if we were connected to the internet. And if we were using that service provided, we're not connected to the internet and we don't use that service. Oh, okay. So, pulling the string on these stories, always interesting. So the headline, are Pentagon weapon systems vulnerable to cyber attacks? Here's what the GAO says. Defense Department weapons programs are vulnerable to cyber attacks, and the Pentagon has been slow to protect these systems that are increasingly reliant on computer networks and software, a federal report said. The USGAO said the Pentagon has worked to ensure its networks are secure, but only recently began to focus more on its weapon system security. The audit conducted between September 2017 and October 2018 found that there are mounting challenges in protecting its weapon systems from increasingly sophisticated cyber threats. U.S. officials have repeatedly accused Russia and China of using cyber attacks to breach government commercial networks and systems, blah, 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 blah. In one case, it said it took a two-person test team just 1 hour to gain initial access to a weapon system and 1 day to gain full control of the system they were testing. So, that ought to make you feel good. Yeah, if you want your kid to be rich, and if you want to be supported by your kid, get him into cyber security. Other story, last man standing. With Haley's departure, will Mattis stick around? Then there's speculation about. Let me tell you, I think, you know, Nikki Haley, obviously a rock star at the UN. I would say the person that has made the biggest difference around the world is the Secretary of Defense. He goes with great credibility to our allies, and us losing him would be not a good thing. Top five stories in Early Bird real quick, and then you'll meet Tim McGarry. Secretary of Defense orders fighter readiness to jump to 80% in 1 year. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis has ordered the Air Force and Navy to get mission-capable rates for 4 key tactical aircraft up to 80% by the end of next September, a daunting challenge given the current readiness rates for America's fighter fleets. So what has happened is he's given them 2 years to get their shit together. They haven't. So now they're going to get his boot up their ass. That's what that is. Second headline, the Army's future tank may not be a tank. Interesting. What would it be? Would it be a robot? A tank-killing robot? While the M1 Abrams tank still has life in it, yet the Army is starting to begin thinking and planning process for a future tank, which is really exciting because it may not even be a tank. It is decisive lethality, and that decisive lethality, and what that decisive lethality will be determined by academia, our science, and technology community within the Army and industry. Yeah. Space age. Right? The Army will choose a path in 2023 on how it will replace the Abrams, and some of the ideas cropping up in discussions have been everything from ray guns to a Star Wars-like four-legged creature that shoots lasers. But the reality is that everything is on the table. I know all you Star Wars geeks just lost your mind, so relax. This article comes out of The Atlantic. The Navy's terrible accident record is now hidden from public view. The latest incidents of a government agency quietly removing data from its website demonstrates the dangers of an ever-changing internet. Well, you know, I don't think, should that data be available for everybody? Should it be available for our enemies? The writer is Hamad Mohammed. I made the disturbing discovery recently that amid a dramatic 5-year spike in aviation accidents, the Navy has put aviation safety data that used to be public behind a wall. I bumped into that change while researching for a documentary film, Who Killed Lieutenant Van Dorn, which uncovered the long history of negligence and institutional failure surrounding the 53 Echo helicopter, the deadliest aircraft in U.S. military history. So the question is, what should be available to the public and what should not be available to the public. So I think that's a legitimate question that the DOD should answer. Should all of its data on our aircraft be out there for the public? Good question. U.S. aircraft carrier Truman will sail in a huge NATO exercise. Navy's revamping the way it deploys, more surge deployments, if you will, right, of shorter duration and then back in port. So the Truman, again, and make no mistake, flexing muscles for Russia as they participate in this NATO exercise. There you have it. That'll happen later on this month. This is a headline that you see going around. A sailor's mom chimed in about him too, and the internet had a field day. I thought we weren't making fun of this kind of stuff. Peter Hansen was simply minding his own business when he unknowingly became an internet sensation. The 32-year-old Navy veteran was taking an exam at the University of Central Florida when his phone began erupting like Mount Vesuvius, the Washington Post reported. Believing something was wrong, Hansen hurried to hand in his test so he could check his phone and discover the source of the commotion. It was his mom. As Hansen sat in class, his mom posted a tweet that turned her unwitting son into the face of the hashtag Him2 campaign, a movement that has gained popularity during the fallout following the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh. This is my son, the viral tweet went, which has since been deleted. Quote, he graduated number one in boot camp. He was awarded the USO award. He was number one in A school. He is a gentleman who respects women. He won't go on solo dates due to the current climate of false sexual accusations by radical feminists with an axe to grind. I vote hashtag him too. So interesting days we live in. And, you know, you look at a lot of polls and you see, one, the independents overwhelmingly hate the way that the Kavanaugh thing was handled by the Democrats. Two, you see in midterms, the party that's out of power, their numbers relative to the midterm election in terms of enthusiasm, wanting to go out and vote, are substantially higher than the party that's in power. That, whatever margin that existed prior to the Kavanaugh hearings, has been erased. And in some cases, especially with independent and Republican women, their enthusiasm to vote exceeds their Democratic counterparts. Pretty interesting little phenomenon going around the country. So, interesting. Yeah, so congratulations to him. He's an internet sensation. One last story, and then you'll meet Tim McGarry. US F-22s and V-2 bombers complete new training to show China that the United States isn't backing down from anything. This is from Business Insider, who does a lot of interesting reporting on the DOD, by a guy named Alan Locke. The U.S. Air Force recently completed a first-of-its-kind training exercise involving B-2 nuclear-capable bombers and F-22 Raptor fighter jets, two of the stealthiest aircraft in the world. The B-2s had never operated out of Pearl Harbor before, but within weeks they found themselves taking off from tiny atolls and practicing new tactics in the Pacific. The training comes as China increasingly uses its military to try to back the U.S. out of the South China Sea, and its military relations disintegrate. The U.S. Air Force clearly intended to show China it won't back down. Well, you know, the U.S. Air Force doesn't have a vote. The U.S. Air Force goes where, you know, like the Marine Corps. Like, the Marine Corps is with this show of, well, the Marine Corps is not doing anything. We're the tool, right? The Secretary of Defense, in conjunction with the President of the United States, he orders these things. And, you know, I think what you see from Secretary Mattis is consistently, you know, the United States is not going to back down from Russia. The United States is not going to back down from China, nor should it. All right, we will, we're not going to take a break. We are going to take a break. You're going to meet Tim McGarry of the McGarry Mortgage Minute. You'll hear him every Wednesday here on All Marine Radio. You've heard his commercials running on the program, and now you're going to get to meet him. The man, the myth, the legend behind the McGarry Mortgage Minute, that is Tim McGarry. Tim, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, no, no. Thanks for, first of all, thanks for being part of All Marine Radio. It's a great thing, and you do a lot of innovative marketing stuff, and we're glad you're on with us. So thanks for choosing us.
Absolutely. It's an honor to be here.
All right. Let's, first of all, before we talk about anything, let's talk about you. Born and raised where?
San Diego. Born and raised in San Diego, yep.
All right. So you're a San Diego kid. And where do you go to college?
College in Washington, D.C. at a school called Catholic University of America.
All right. And you're a football player. So let's talk about that. You go to Catholic on a scholarship. And talk about that. You played in high school. You played in college. You played in Europe. You went up in Canada and played up there a little bit. Talk about your football and what it's meant to you.
Football has been amazing. I mean, it's gotten me a lot of experience and helped me grow as just a person. Starting from when I was little with my dad being a football coach, and it's kind of been around us our whole life, and it's just helped me become kind of who I am today, and being able to play in college and overseas and doing some stuff in Canada was an amazing experience and just really something that it's hard to explain, but it's something that just made me who I am today, and it's just helped me with life and everyday things with just what I have to overcome through work, through anything. It's just being able to take from what I learned from football and the experiences I got from playing for so long and learning from so many different types of people is pretty amazing.
All right. Let's talk about that. It has to be interesting to play in Europe. What was the most interesting part about playing football in Europe?
The most interesting part was how good people were, but how much less of knowledge they had playing the game, because they didn't have the same type of programs that we have. They didn't have the same coaching and they don't get the time zone is so much different. You can't watch NFL games unless it's like 1 a.m. or 3 a.m. And so you don't get to really have a hero except for highlights you get to watch the next day, and you can't watch your home team. And so football is getting bigger out there, but the funniest thing was seeing how good some of the players are, but how like the little mistakes that they would make would be something that was easy to fix. But if they had that growing up, they'd be just 10 times better.
Right. Right. The also, if I'm not mistaken, you've worked out with Aaron Rodgers in Southern California. What was that like?
That was fun. I worked out with Aaron Rodgers along with some Chargers and Drew Brees, who just had that record for passing yards. Right. Yeah, that's Aaron Rodgers and them. They work hard. They have a great work ethic and they're actually good people. So it was fun to work out with. Aaron Rodgers he just kind of played. He was like a big kid, and so he messed with me a couple times when I'd run back to get from like catching a ball with him. He'd act like there's a ball that was about to hit me because I had my back turned and he was looking forward, and he'd act like something was about to hit me, and I'd kind of get on the ground or almost like kind of duck my head, and he'd just start laughing at me. But he was funny, and it was pretty fun to be able to work out with him.
You're dealing with your own physical trauma. You had an incident where you went out a window at night on accident. A bit of what call those night terrors? What do you call those, Tim, that resulted in your accident?
So we don't know exactly what resulted in the accident. I've got a brain tumor, and where that is might be kind of, it might be the reason, it might kind of be directly correlated to why I have these night terrors or make them worse, or their brain seizures. But that's kind of how or why I went through the window. And so that's kind of what that was. They don't really have an exact answer, but because it's hard when you have when you deal with the head,
right.
And it's really frustrating because you talk to amazing doctors and neurologists everywhere, and they don't have an exact answer, and they can't give you an exact answer unless they're 100% sure. And even if they're 99% sure, they can't say this is for sure why, because of that small percentage of being wrong. So we don't know exactly, but yeah, I went through the window and severed all my nerves, tendons, ligaments, and muscles in my right arm and my right leg. Had like 280 or some odd stitches, and was in a wheelchair for a little bit.
But you've been you've made a good recovery, yes, and the prognosis for you is good, yes.
Yeah, the prognosis is good. The recovery was way better than expected. I was supposed to be in a wheelchair for about 1 to 2 years, and I started walking in 3 months, and the arm, you know, I was supposed to, you know, it was temporary paralysis kind of thing, and I wasn't supposed to be able to move it, and we didn't know if I'd ever have full function, and there's just so much more bad that was possible than good, and the good came out, and I can finally move my foot, I can finally do things, and I've been able to walk, kind of work out and do things to be able to feel normal. I can't feel my right side, but yeah, the prognosis is great. It's looking good. I'm walking and moving, and after something like that, it's the best. So I can, you know, you're really grateful for things like that.
Absolutely. And you were kind of a beneficiary of some of the smarts that we've gleaned here on All Marine Radio. You and I had a couple of conversations about the things people will say and the frustration you'll experience and the mental struggle coming back from trauma and physical injury and how frustrating that could be.
Yeah. Yeah, your talks with me and your friend that I spoke with were so, it really gets me, it got me through it because the way you spoke wasn't about, it's hard to explain, but the way you spoke was so amazing, and it just kind of put it together, and you were right on the dot, everything with just what you're going to hear and what people are going to say, what they're going to say, and kind of just the road I was going to go through, and it was really nice and great to hear. It helped me so much because it is hard. Not many people can understand what you're going through, and there are so many people in worse situations that go through it and battle through some struggles and they get through it, and you know it's just that was one of the best things I've ever. Your speeches were amazing, and that helped so much keep me positive. And
you know, it's just kind of what we do is pass along what other people have told us. None of it's new, and now the cool part is you're going to do that for somebody else. If you haven't already done it, at some point you're going to get a phone call and say, or somebody's going to say, will you talk to so-and-so, and you're going to be able to pass that same wisdom on and help other people's lives, which is, we call it post-traumatic winning. You feel great because you've helped somebody and they feel better because they know that what they're going through is normal and that they can do it and it's fully within them. So it's pretty cool. Let's talk about, so tell everybody what you do for a living now and how long have you been doing it and how'd you get into it?
Right now, I'm a loan officer at Guild Mortgage, and so I've been doing this for like 3-4 years now, around there, 3 to 4 years, and I got into it because my mom's in the industry, and she had some people that I met with and talked to about possibly getting into this industry after I was done playing football, and I went to Boise to go learn from someone that I connected with, and he taught me a lot, and I ended up just falling in love with it and really liking not just the business, but just, you know, what you can do to help people and what everything around it, and not just being a loan officer, but every single day. It's like football, about how it's a win or a loss, about what you're doing with every single day instead of just doing a job and just saying yes or no to someone if they can qualify. There's a lot more to it, and being able to learn that from someone like Terry Hefner, who had in Boise, was just something that really got me into it and hooked me, and I've been in it since.
Talk to me about, you've done some some interesting stuff relative to marketing, and pretty innovative stuff. First of all, it made me laugh, but I thought it was cool. Tell everybody what you've done in terms of some of your marketing stuff.
Well, the marketing, I'm glad that you saw them and you liked them. It's fun. There's some marketing we do. I've been doing a lot of Facebook and YouTube marketing, and there's videos I've made with some songs, kind of parodies of other songs that I think people like and could laugh at and really just connect with, because I think it's important that you understand and know before you understand and know who you're dealing with when you're trying to get a home, because it's not something, it's not like buying a TV. It's a really big investment. So being able to do these videos is fun, and it's my way of trying to connect with someone personal on another level without being able to meet them yet. So, yeah, the videos are fun, and you can see them on our Facebook. I know my dad really loves them, too.
So. All right, Tim, now that we know you a little bit, tell us what we're going to do every week during the McGarry Mortgage Minute.
Well, the first four things I want to make people smarter about, we'll cover one topic each week. Starting next week, is going to be the importance of credit and how it relates to buying a home. You know, being able to fix your credit and all that goes into it and what it can do to get you into a home. Number two is I'm going to talk about and help us understand a little bit more about down payment assistance and try to get everyone out there to understand more about the loan programs that can help them get into homes, especially when in this type of market that it's hard to get into homes in general. So being able to have these loan programs with this down payment assistance is going to be really beneficial for you. And if it doesn't work for you, it might be really great for a friend, a brother, a sister that can help them. Following that, I want to talk about the differences and help us learn more about VA compared to conventional, compared to FHA, compared to all the other loan programs that we talked about the prior week. Being able to understand that and what helps you is going to kind of get into our final and the fourth week, which I have planned, is the game plan. And that is really important, because buying a home, whether you're one day, one month, or one year away, it's always nice and big to know what you can do to help put yourself in the best situation to achieve all your goals and needs and wants when looking to buy a home.
All right. So the game plan brings all that stuff together. And so on a weekly basis, we'll take one topic, and whether it comes from you or whether it comes from somebody who's listening and shoots us an email, and you'll essentially break that down for everybody and make us smart about a whole variety of topics relative to becoming a homeowner and that whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and not one person's the same. You know, so it might be better for someone to rent and the other person is in a different situation, and it might be better for them to buy. So just understanding all of this, being able to tie it together, is going to be really great.
All right. And even for the people that is renting or leasing, the plan probably would include, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to rent for a period of time to get you in a position to buy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, sometimes you are renting and you're in a great situation to where it's going to be significantly less to rent than it is to buy. But there's also a lot of times where you're going to be able to buy and save so much more money by doing so. So you hear that whole, when you're renting, you're paying someone else's mortgage. That's not always necessarily the case. So just being able to understand that is just going to be really good for you.
Got it. All right. Tim, what haven't I been smart enough to ask you today that you want to make sure that people remember?
I want to make sure everyone remembers that there are no stupid questions relative to mortgages. You can ask me anything, and I'm more than happy to be there and answer any questions you have. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
There you have it. His name is McGarry, and he's here to help. That's Tim McGarry. Tim, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. All right, more of Auburn Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.